Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will continue our study. It is the most important chapter where we learn about the final teaching of the words of Allah and Muhammad as written in the final chapter, that is Quran chapter 9. In the Bible, in the book of Mark chapter 12 verse 28, we read about a question was given by one of the scribes who came to Jesus, which was, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered in verse 29 and said to him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, which obviously come from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12. But then Jesus moved on to say to him in verse 31, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. These are the top most important commandments we read about in the Bible. In the 10th commandment also we read about the honoring for the parents. For in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 we read, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I'll add to that another very powerful command the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, which is to love our enemies. And that is what we read in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning from verse 43. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I, in verse 44, say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. What a great teaching. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we'll learn about love and respect, not only for God and our neighbors, not only for our parents, but for even our enemies. Now let us read together the commandments of Allah in the Quran to the Muslims, the beloved Muslim believers towards their family members, that is, their fathers and their brothers. So without further ado, let us move to the teaching of Allah in the Quran, to Quran chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. And before we even read that passage, let me read to you the bold statements which I have written before that passage, which goes like that. Muslims are commanded not to take their own family members as friends if those family members are not believers. So in verse 23 we read, O you who have believed, do not take your fathers or your brothers as friends if they love infidelity above belief. And whoever taketh them as a friend among you, so those are the unjust. Say, if your fathers and your sons and your brethren and your wives and your relatives and the money which you have gained and merchandise which you fear may be unsold and dwellings in which you delight was more love to you than Allah and His Messenger and the performing of jihad for His sake, so wait until Allah brings His command. And Allah does not guide the transgressing people. Now, I want you to understand, not only the Quran here teaches the opposite message of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, but actually goes in a deeper level than that. What do I mean by that? When you go and look at the interpretation of Al-Tabari, he will tell you that Allah in this passage is commanding the Muslim believers not to have any friendship with anyone who goes against Islam. That is not to tell any of these people the secrets of Islam. That the infidels, even though if they are their family, will not be hindrances of Islam's future plans. What I mean by that is that what Allah is saying here also, according to the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, that those who will give the alliance to people other than Allah and His Messenger, those who disobey the command of Allah, are unjust. Especially those who are being hindered to migrate to Muhammad in the city of Medina. That is because they are so much in love with their family and their relatives in Mecca that they will not leave them and move on to join Muhammad and to perform jihad for the sake of Allah. You have to understand now that that chapter here is written literally a year before Muhammad invaded the city of Mecca. That is what I call a late message from Allah to the Muslim believers. Had Allah said that a little bit earlier, maybe it will be more accepted than now in the last 2 years of Muhammad's life, Muhammad giving these orders. Because if these people, as we have seen in the true fulfillment of this command, if these people joined Muhammad in the last year before he came back to the city of Mecca, who these people will be performing jihad against? But their own family, their own fathers, their own brothers, their own relatives. That is exactly what happened. So it's a little bit deceptive command from Allah and Muhammad. But there is a good lesson we have to learn from that. Muslims do not give alliance to anyone other than Allah and Muhammad. And that is a message which the Lord put on my heart for many years, which I try to tell the American people about. That is when you hear most liberals talking about the Muslims in America as they are part of the fiber of America, part of our culture, part of our life, and they will continue to brag about them by saying these are good Muslim Americans or good American Muslims. The oxymoron titles, which I am sick and tired of hearing, especially from our politicians who know nothing about the Quran, who know nothing about Islam. And as you may have heard me in the past, I said, Muslims will never be our friends. Muslims will never be an American. It's an oxymoron. If the Quran teaches the Muslims that they cannot love their own fathers, their own brothers, their own relatives, than Allah and Muhammad. They must obey Allah and Muhammad. Concerning what? Concerning leaving their family in Mecca to join Muhammad in Medina to come back to Mecca to perform jihad and kill their own family members. Don't forget, Muhammad did it with his own uncle and his own cousin, for heaven's sake. Don't trust Muslims in America who take an oath to become citizens of this great country. Why? Because it is already written in the book. They will not become friends with us. Quran 5:51 is very clear where Allah said, "All you who have believed, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends." And what is America is made of but Jews and Christians? And here is the real heart of the matter. In Quran chapter 9 and verse 23, Allah is telling the Muslim believers not to take even their own families as friends, not to become ally with their own family if their own family choose infidelity over believing in Allah and believing in Muhammad. Once again, Al-Tabari gives us another hint that these verses were given concerning the Muslim believers who choose to remain with their family in Mecca, in the land of polytheists, instead of going to the land of Islam to join Muhammad for the purpose of performing jihad. What about the command of Allah, as we just read in the Quran? When Allah said, "So wait until Allah brings His command, and Allah does not guide the transgressing people." What is the command? Let's listen carefully to what the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari said. He said, "بالفتح في أمره إياهم بالهجرة هذا كله قبل فتح مكة." The command was to the invasion, as Allah ordered all of them to do the immigration, and that was written before the invasion of Mecca. You hear what I said here? That's exactly what I mentioned just a few minutes earlier. Muhammad wanted the Muslim believers to betray their own fathers, to betray their own brothers, to betray their own relatives, to travel from Mecca to Medina, to join Muhammad, to become part of his 10,000 men who will turn around and come back to Mecca, to perform jihad in their invasion of the city of Mecca, to kill those who will not submit to Islam. Wow. Can we see this happening in America? That we're bringing Muslims from all over the Muslim world who believe 100% that we are the great Satan. Not only we just like to be infidel by not believing Islam, but we are actually the great Satan. And they will continue to come to America as they migrate to this great country. And I believe when the right time comes, when they have enough people to perform the final jihad, that is exactly what will happen in America. America will be destroyed from within by the Muslims whom we are bringing to this country, not in the thousands anymore, but now in the millions.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
What about verse 24? Because obviously these people are counting the cost. They're trying to figure out, well, maybe we can turn our back against our fathers and against our brothers and against our sons and against our own wives. But this other things we're going to lose. How about the merchandise? How about our homes, which we love and we were pleased with? Allah is giving his Muslim believers that powerful verse in which he is telling them, nothing in this world is worse than if you do not obey Allah, if you do not obey Muhammad, you are become transgressing people. Another big word in Islam, which means you're going to burn in hell forever. In verse 23, he ended, if you do become friends with your fathers and your brothers and your relatives, you become of the unjust. Big, big word in Islam. Because the place of the unjust is eternity in hell. And in verse 24, once again, Allah picked up the word transgressors, another huge word to force, pressure these Muslim men who were left behind in Mecca to join Muhammad, that they may come back to Mecca and wipe out their own family members. Let me read to you again, Quran 9:24, which states, say, if your fathers and your sons and your brethren and your wives and your relatives and the money which you have gained and merchandise which you fear may be unsold and dwelling in which you delight was more love to you than Allah and his messenger and the performing of jihad for his sake. So wait until Allah bring his command. What is that command once again? The command of the invasion of Mecca. This is not just simple words, guys. That is a threat. You can go ahead and stay in Mecca if you want. But Allah will order us to come to Mecca and we are going to kill you and your parents. We're going to kill you and your sons. We're going to kill you and your relatives. We're going to kill you and everybody who is with you. So what a great threat. So you better betray your parents or Allah will wipe out you and your parents and your relatives. This is not just simple words. This is great threat which Muhammad sent as a message to the people of Mecca, as that entire chapter, chapter 9, was read in the streets of Mecca 1 year before Muhammad invaded the city of Mecca, which was his last year to live in this world. I believe also from reading that passage that Muhammad thought that he's going to live in this world for another 10, 20 years. He died at the age of 63. But from reading that verse, it seemed to me like Muhammad was planning to live long life. He did not know that he would be killed by the poison which he had received in Medina. Later on, after he sent that message to be read in the streets of Mecca. But just imagine with me, if you are someone who loves your family, if you are a Jew or a Christian, like those who believe in the early verses which I shared with you from the book of Luke, from the Ten Commandments about loving God, loving your neighbors, loving your enemies, and now you are facing the reality of Muhammad coming back to Mecca. Muhammad is about to invade the city of Mecca. Muhammad is going to wipe you out and your family, because you choose not to leave Mecca and join Muhammad in Medina. On the other hand, if you leave Mecca and you betray your relatives and join Muhammad, you must come back. To do what? To invade Mecca. To do what? To perform jihad for the sake of Allah. To do what? To kill your own fathers and your own relatives and the rest of the people of Mecca. Man, oh man, what a very savage cult. And we're just talking about it here in the year 2024. When in reality, that is exactly what happened in Mecca. When Muhammad turned around the following year, after he sent that great message of Quran chapter 9 to be read everywhere in Mecca and everybody heard it, now people have to make a decision. Should I join Muhammad and save my life and save the life of my sons and my wives and whatever else they have there? Or should I join Muhammad and kill my own family and my own relative? Believe it or not, my friends, when you read the history of Islam as it is recorded by Muslim biographers like Ibn Hisham and Ibn Isaac and others, you will read about that man who beheaded his own father, or that father who beheaded his own son, and that barbaric, savage life while there from the days of Muhammad even until today. You have heard me so many times. I said there are more Muslims killed by the hand of other Muslims in the history of Islam than the numbers of Muslims who were killed by the hand of the infidels. That began from that day when Muhammad wrote these verses in the Quran and people accepted it to be the final command of Allah, as he orders him to obey Allah and to obey his messenger Muhammad. Now let me share with you one more verse, and that's Quran chapter 9 and verse 28, which will be the reason why Allah sent to Muhammad. Quran chapter 9 and verse 29. But before we even read that verse, let me read to you what is written in the bold statement. Muslims are commanded not to allow anyone who worships other gods near the forbidden mosque. This includes Christians, since Muslims believe that they worship God and Jesus and his mother, which obviously is a false trinity, for Muhammad did not really know what we Christians believe. For we obviously do not worship the Virgin Mary, but worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This rule is still practiced in Saudi Arabia even today. Yes, indeed, non-Muslims cannot go to Mecca or Medina, period. Remember in verse 24, Muhammad was talking about the worry of losing the merchandise, the worry about losing these homes they love to live in, the worry about losing money they work hard to gain. If these Muslims turn their back against their own family and against their relatives, and they're going to move on to join Muhammad in Medina, hopefully they will come back in the day of the invasion and they will kill the rest of the people who left behind in Mecca. Now let's move on to this very powerful verse. In verse 28 we read, "O you who have believed, surely only the polytheists are unclean. So do not let them come near the forbidden mosque after this their year. And if you are afraid of coming to poverty, So Allah will enrich you from His bounty, if He wills. Surely Allah is knowing wise. What this verse is talking about? It's talking about the great economic crisis which the Muslim believers who live in Mecca will be facing for not allowing the policies which Muhammad described in the Quran here to be unclean. You see, because the Muslims who live in Mecca make their living by buying and selling merchandise. And Allah here in that verse is telling the believers not to allow any of the polytheists who are unclean to be near the forbidden mosque. You have to understand, once again, there was no mosque there with some minaret and the outside speakers. There was no mosque, period. It's an empty piece of land where the black building, the Kaaba, was in it. And inside that building, there were 360 gods. Now, if the Muslims of Mecca, who are now invading the city of Mecca, will not allow the buying and the selling of merchandise or even other people to visit their gods, which used to bring income to the people of Mecca. So now they will have a big economic problem. So Allah is giving the command through Muhammad to the Muslim believers not to allow these policies anymore to come near the forbidden mosque according to the word of Allah in the Quran. So what will happen? There's going to be an economic crisis all over the land of Mecca. That is exactly what he said. And if you are afraid of coming to poverty, so what is the answer? Listen carefully. So Allah will enrich you from His bounty, if He will. Yes, you're going to lose money from not selling and buying merchandise. And as you will lose all the income which comes from all these people who used to come and visit their gods in the Kaaba. But Allah will enrich you. You will become rich. From what? From Allah's bounty, which is the money which Muhammad will gain from the Jews and the Christians. Those whom he will invade and kill, or those whom he will allow to live under the condition of paying the jizya. That is the tribute tax. And that is what we will see in our next broadcast. To look at what did Allah say in Quran chapter 9 and verse 29 concerning the treatments of the Jews and the Christians. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.